Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
Hey, I'm Thamy Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How we doing? Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, fourth and final hour on a big football Friday. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Right now, we're going to give you one thought on each game in the NFL for this upcoming weekend. Hot take, Hickey. Music, por favor. All right, we'll start things off. San Francisco at the Falcons. The 49ers are starting to get my trust. I said earlier in the week, they'll win the NFC West this year. They've been the most consistent team, and they survived that debacle up against the Broncos. I look at Kittle. I got to see more from Kittle. I'm getting a little bit concerned about Kittle. One of the game's better tight ends is not looking that sharp this year. I know he's been banged up. Debo's been really solid. They survived so far life without Trent Williams, but that defense is the difference. And I take a glance at the Falcons. The Falcons have been a gritty team, but this is the week where I just think this 49ers defense, even though the Falcons have been gritty and have been in every game, forces multiple turnovers and exposes this Falcons team for not being that great when you look at the roster. So my thought is defense, defense, defense with the 49ers. And if this game is the Falcons close, and I know it's at their place, and the spread's 5 points, if the Falcons cover here, I may start to look a little bit differently at the 49ers because I'm starting to believe that the 49ers are going to win this division.
I'm with you. I think the 49ers win and cover. The Falcons have been a pesky team this year, but this is just a game where even though you're going across the country, I think this is still the talent disparity, especially on defense, going to be the difference. 49ers win and cover.
I think the 49ers, I may be wrong on this, I think they've been staying all week. Is it West Virginia that I read?
Oh, Kyle Shanahan has done that before. Stay all week on the East Coast in preparation for like East Coast games.
Yeah, I think it was in West Virginia. Let me just do a quick Twitter search here. Hold on.
I wonder if it's in West Virginia, because I believe it was like 2 years ago, they played the Giants and Jets in back-to-back weeks at MetLife Stadium. I believe
West Virginia.
Stayed in West Virginia that entire week.
Yeah.
Must be a friendly contingent of 49er fans out there that are welcoming.
I guess.
I don't know. It seems very random.
Well, last week they were in Charlotte in North Carolina. They beat up on the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not great at geography here. How far is West Virginia from Atlanta?
A whole hell of a lot farther than Charlotte to Atlanta,
yeah,
that's
right?
For sure.
That's weird that they stayed in Atlanta.
Or in West Virginia.
I mean, in West Virginia, when they had to go to Atlanta.
Well, maybe... You know,
well,
you know, coaches are always,
let's be real.
Paranoid. Maybe you want to get to like a secret location where you don't have to worry about anyone sneaking up on you and maybe filming your practices.
Oh, stop.
Stop, but these coaches are nut jobs.
Stop.
They're paranoid.
There has to be some connection. You know what? Let's do this.
Maybe Mike Florio has him over.
Why? Yeah.
In his backyard.
Well, Sims does the podcast with Florio, does the show with Florio. Sims is close with Shanahan. I know Sims doesn't live in West Virginia. Maybe they open the Florio estate to a friend of Chris Sims and Kyle Shanahan.
Maybe.
Why are the 49ers practicing in West Virginia? That is a great question. And we don't have an answer.
I like you just comment yourself on your own question. Why are the 49ers staying in West Virginia? That's a great question.
Well, I was typing it in my phone.
No, I know. I'm just... making fun.
No.
Having a little joke at your expense.
How is that a joke at my expense? I'm always ready to laugh at myself, but what did I do wrong there?
No, you commented yourself on your own question. That was all.
How did I compliment myself?
That's a good question.
Oh, yeah, it is a good question.
That's all. You did not realize you even said it.
I guess I didn't. I was typing things. I'm just trying to fill things. You know, I was looking at you to say a few words when my fat, slow fingers are typing, but you gave me nothing.
Well, they're in West Virginia for some reason, and we both believe that will be enough to put a stomping on the Falcons for really the first time that no one's really been able to give them the business, if you will.
Pats at the Brownies. Browns are going to be without Jadeveon Clowney and also Denzel Ward. So two of their better defensive players are out. Mac Jones is questionable for this game. We'll see if he plays. Damian Harris is also questionable. I thought he was going to be out for sure. It seemed like he was going to be out multiple weeks early in the week, they said. Now there's a chance he plays. I get a feeling that Belichick knowing Jacoby Brissett, like on paper, the Browns are a better team. But Belichick knowing Jacoby Brissett, Ramondre Stevenson coming off a good game, the Patriots offensive line being very good and better than what most people thought it was going to be. Regardless who plays that quarterback, Bailey Zappe or Mac Jones, I just think this Patriots team's going to be able to move the ball on the Browns. And I do think this is going to be a back and forth kind of field goal type of game because the Patriots offense just isn't that good. And here's my thought. I trust Nick Folk more than Cade York. And I think Nick Folk is going to rack up a lot of fantasy points this week and is going to be the reason why the Patriots win the game. So my thought on this game, Nick Folk.
I think this is, I can't even say bounce back because they've blown too many opportunities. I'll go the Browns on this one. I think they just ground and pound.
Awesome.
It's a tough game, which is going to be ugly. I'll say 21-17 Cleveland.
By the way, we need runs in this. I just got one good. Dodgers, Padres, bottom of the first. I'm on a big parlay tonight. Already got the Phillies minus the run and a half. Now we just need the over 7.5 runs between the Padres and the Dodgers.
So far, so good.
I would love a 3-run home run right here.
One
Dodgers have
run in
first and
inning.
Third up against Tony Gonsolin in the bottom of the first. It's already 1-0 San Diego. Jets at the Packers. Green Bay, I'm going to give you a simple thought. This is why they pay me the big bucks. You better not lose. Because if they lose this game, if the Packers lose this game, and I think the Packers are winning the division, I will still stand by that. But if the Packers lose this game, I may have to shift my thinking that the Vikings are going to win this division. Because, yes, the Jets are young. Yes, the Jets have young talent. Garrett Wilson, Zach Wilson, Michael Carter, Breece Hall. They got some young, talented players. But I don't care. Even though the Jets are a little bit different this year, they are still not ascending to a great team right now. And if you're Green Bay, you're at home. I don't care who your receivers are, Romeo Doubs, Alan Lazard, Christian Watson, whoever plays. Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon should be enough for a victory, and you have Aaron Rodgers. My thought, Packers must win. Must win.
I'm interested to see what kind of Packers team comes out. Remember last week, after the game, which they lost to the Giants in London, you already had some Packers players basically saying, like, hope you don't lose to the Jets. Or
Jair Alexander
having
some
concerns.
And then Rodgers said, hold on, I don't like that negative talk. We got to be positive because everyone's a Zen master these days.
If they lose this game, the Packers.
Poncha karma cleanse.
It could. I wonder if that could lead to a spiral. It can get ugly.
They're going to make the playoffs, though.
I mean, if you're talking about losing to the Jets already, then you go out and lose to the Jets, I think all bets are off.
It's a bad look.
All bets are off.
Jacksonville at the Colts. Here's my thought. Frank Reich, you better show up. Because I would have fired you after you got blown out by the Jaguars. I would have fired you when you lost to Tennessee. You lose to the Jaguars twice in a season. It showed me that you've made zero progress from last year. And your ass should be on the first plane ride out of town if you lose this game.
I'm looking at Trevor Lawrence. A little inconsistent in year number two. I know it's kind of really year number one for him, especially the new coach in Doug Peterson.
Yeah, he had a coach that was just stealing money there last year in Urban Meyer.
That he was, and stole a lot of it,
by that
the
was the guy that wanted to get fired last year.
Holy cow.
He hated the NFL so much, he did the dumbest. He signed that job and said, well, I hate the NFL. I'm just going to be a dope.
Well, you're a smart businessman, got out, and got paid. That's for sure. But I want to see a little more consistency. He's been careless with the football the last few weeks. He is better, I think, than what he's shown recently after a hot start, especially after beating the Colts and beating the Chargers. See Trevor Lawrence, we can get back to that this week.
Next game, Vikings at the Dolphins. Skylar Thompson going to start. Teddy Bridgewater and Tua Tagovailoa are both a full participant in practice today. Tua is not going to play. Do we know if Bridgewater is going to be active at least in this game?
I'm not seeing anything. I'll try to get stats, but I'm not seeing anything.
Okay. You're on top of it. Vikings at the Dolphins. This is a game. I don't know what Vegas is seeing that none of us are seeing. Now, don't get me wrong. The Vikings are not as good as their record says they are. But they have a solid offense. They have a diverse offense. Their defense is up and down. You never know which defense is going to show week in and week out. But if Skyler's starting for this team, it's like, what are we doing here? This game is a 3.5-point game. If the Vikings lose this game, it makes you look at them differently, and it makes you think, oh, same old Vikings. I don't want to hear about the heat. I don't care about any of that nonsense. Vikings should win the game. And this, it's kind of like a, I don't want to say a statement game for Minnesota, but Minnesota, they lose a lot of games they should win. And this is a game that you should win. So show me that you're different from the Minnesota teams of years past.
Teddy Bridgewater, if he's cleared, will back up Skylar Thompson. And if he's not, it'll be Reed Sinnett as the backup to Skylar Thompson in Miami on Sunday.
Oh, geez.
I'm excited to see Mike
I'm excited McDaniel to see Reed Sinnett if Skylar Thompson doesn't play well.
Well, you might be the first person ever to be excited to see Reed Sinnett in an NFL game.
Went to San Diego and drafted in 2020.
You and his mother, I guess, probably the two people that would be most excited to see him on the field.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I did a quick Wikipedia search on him. I know nothing about him.
Well, Mike McDaniel's done well so far with Tua. Teddy Bridgewater and the extremely limited action he got looked decent, looked competent. I mean, look, you're not asking a lot. Skylar Thompson making his first career start, but what can you do? You know, he's been so far pushing my buttons on offense. Can at least make this competitive. Not win, but...
You're saying Mike McDaniel?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's starting to lose me again.
He's a good offensive mind.
But the whole ping pong table. Well, does he have control of his team? He thought the ping pong tables were taken out because that was a good sign of leadership from Tyreek Hill. The next thing you know, Tyreek Hill goes, we just got a dent to the ping pong tables. Is he losing the locker room?
That's something to watch. Does he
not have the pulse on his locker room? It's a question. Bengals at the Saints. Michael Thomas out. Andy Dalton going to start once again. The only reason the Saints won last week is Taysom Hill went off. So the only way the Saints are able to win now, I guess, is if Taysom Hill goes off. I don't want to hear about this Andy Dalton revenge game, all this nonsense. For Cincinnati, this is a get-right game. They should go into New Orleans. I know the line has not been great, and the Saints still have a good defensive line, but you should beat the snot out of this team. And if you don't, then people start to say what I just said about the Vikings. Same old Bengals.
They have not looked anywhere near their Super Bowl caliber play they had at late last year. It's very frustrating because they should be better. On paper, they are better. And at least for me, I've been believing the last few weeks they'll turn around. Even like the wins against the Dolphins, they look great.
No.
Kind of to pull it out late. So it's like this has to be the game where you said kind of turn it around and really look like an improved team from last year.
The Saints are so banged up. Just look at the talent, and we don't even know if Olave is going to play. I saw his question about that scary incident last week. But if you just look at Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon, Joe Burrow, like, you're going to lose to Andy Dalton and Taysom Hill? Stop.
Better not.
Ravens at the Giants. Wink Martindale. Ravens defense hasn't looked good. Giants are playing much better than the talent that they have. I want to see if this is a Wink Martindale revenge spot.
I want to see if the Giants are legit. Like, I have kind of poo-pooed their 4-1 start.
If they lose 27-23 this weekend, that's a good showing for the Giants.
Agreed. I want to see how they play against a team in the Ravens who are very explosive, especially led by Lamar Jackson. And it was a defense that could be taken advantage of.
By the way, I got a call during the break. You know you're not going to be with us next week on CBS Sports Radio?
A week from today, yes. That's correct.
No. I mean, you're not going to be with us all next week.
Oh, why is that?
You're going to Pittsburgh.
I'm going to Pittsburgh now.
Yeah, you're going to be lining up at starting safety for the Steelers because they have no one in their secondary this
week. I'm in. I won't be making any tackles or picks, but hey, I'll get that paycheck.
Management is going to fly out tomorrow. You're going to quickly meet Mike Tomlin. You got a playbook. They'll give you. They'll teach you some of the defensive formations. They may even put the green dot on your helmet.
Oh yeah, now we're talking.
And then they're going to give you the entire week off because you're probably going to be in a hospital after the beating that you take.
Probably, if I get one hit, yeah, I would be in bad shape.
So I do picks up against Mraz on DA's show, as you know. He picked the Bucks laying. I think it was like 8.5 points. I love that pick by Mraz. Isn't this a get-right game for Tampa Bay on offense? Our offense hasn't clicked once this year. Pittsburgh's in a bad spot. Their defense is good. You're going up against a young quarterback in Kenny Pickett, and your offense is playing what looks like on paper a JV secondary. Tampa, big. Bounce back.
I can't go there. I can't go big.
Come on, it's Tom Brady. Death taxes Tom Brady carving up the Steelers. Been that way for the better part of 20 years.
This offensive line is a real problem.
You know, Brady wanted ownership of the Dolphins. He has ownership of the Steelers. He would have been the first. If they would have given him ownership of the Dolphins, he would have been the first guy in NFL history on two teams and play.
Dual ownership.
At the same time.
I think it'll be close. And I'm excited to see Kenny Pickett. He played better so far in the game and a half.
He hasn't been bad.
Than I expected. Let's see if they can continue.
Rams and Panthers. Steve Wilks, interim head coach. Matt Rule out. Rams have been a disaster at 2-3. This is the trenches. The only way Carolina has a chance of keeping this game close is if their pass rushers, which they have, led by Burns, can get after the quarterback. And this Rams offensive line stinks. Here's my thought on the game. Can the offensive line for the Rams show a pulse this week? Because if that's the case, then the Rams win big. If not, still, you're going to have the Rams win the game because P.J. Walker's starting at quarterback. And I went to Temple. P.J.'s my... You know, my favorite college quarterback, I guess you could say, ever, since he was there when I was there. That may be a stretch, but I do love PJ. But come on. Guy's not a starting NFL quarterback. I know he's 2-0 as a starter. If the Rams lose to the Panthers, you talk about the Packers, how if the Packers lose to the Jets, it's a blow up. This would be even worse.
That's why this has to be an Allen Robinson game. Abandon the run. The run game is not working. Cam Akers is not playing. Don't even run the ball. Cooper Kupp's going to get his targets for sure. You need Allen Robinson to make his presence felt on more than just like a token third down throwing you down by 12 points.
Arizona at Seattle. The best quarterback matchup in this division. Geno Smith and Kyler Murray. Maybe not the best, but the most exciting. If you want to talk about big plays and theatrics, and this is not being disrespectful to Matthew Stafford, but Geno Smith is cooking right now to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, and Kyler Murray is a one-man show. And this is the last week that he's going to deal with life without DeAndre Hopkins. He comes back from his suspension. My thought in this game is Kyler Murray against Geno Smith. I think there's going to be a whole lot of points in this game.
This is a must-win for the Cardinals. You can't lose this game. You can't go to 2-4.
You can lose this game, though.
You cannot. If you are a true playoff team, which they came into the year.
This is in Seattle.
Assuming.
This could be a loss.
I would pick the Seahawks right now, but I'm saying if you're the Cardinals, you have to win this game.
Buffalo at Kansas City. I think Buffalo is the better team. It comes down to, can Buffalo's defense get the timely stop of Patrick Mahomes? No matter which way this game goes, whoever gets out in front, you know a comeback's coming. Can that defense for Buffalo get off the field like they weren't able to do so in 13 seconds last year?
I'm looking at Sean McDermott for this game. Last year, as we know, the whole 13-second debacle, there's a few different choices he had at head coach. We've seen other times head coaching decisions that have gone bad just spiral, a.k.a. Matt Nagy after the whole missed field goal, double doink. His career just went in the toilet. I just want to see how Sean McDermott responds in a game that we both agree is not a revenge game for the Bills, but... Now you're going back to the place where your season ended last year. You have so many bad memories.
Dallas at Philadelphia. Dallas is 4-0 without Dak Prescott. I know it's based off the run game. It's based off a great defense. Does the Cooper Rush perfection, though, end this week in a hostile environment in Philadelphia? I think it does. Not that the Eagles are going to embarrass the Cowboys, but the Eagles... Even in a close game last week, they are thriving, they're soaring, they're undefeated. I just think on defense, they're very good, and the offensive firepower that they have, even though Dallas could force a turnover or two, I don't think Cooper Rush keeps up with Jalen Hurts and that Fly Eagles Fly offense.
Can the Eagles play a complete game for the first time this season? They're elite in the first half, And for most of the season, they've kind of held on in the second half to get some wins. Can you play a full 60-minute game, come out firing, finish strong? They're going to have to do that in order to beat the Cowboys.
And finally, Monday night, Denver at the Chargers. Do I even need to say it? My thought on this game, isolated window, Nathaniel Hackett, disaster. That's what I want to see. I want to see Russ throw a few picks. Nathaniel Hackett make a few boneheaded decisions. I want to see a big Chargers victory. That's what I want to see.
Can Russell Wilson look comfortable, so competent? Can he look like he actually wants to be there? I'm not kidding. There was times in the Colts game, I'm like, is this guy throwing the game? Like, he just seemed like he wanted to be
he's
anywhere.
In. He's Mr. Unlimited.
Anywhere but Denver.
He loves the tough times. He knows all the answers. Come on, that's your guy. Super Bowl MVP, MVP this year. Broncos going to the Super Bowl, winning the whole thing. Nathaniel Hackett, top three for Coach of the Year. All things you said.
Let me tell you this. No one needed a 1 o'clock Eastern Sunday kickoff more than the Broncos.
More than Nathaniel Hackett.
Holy smokes. Prime time is that not one. What they needed.
Jersey Jerry joins us next for Pick. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It was always Zach Gelb and Jersey Jerry, but Zach just didn't know it.
Jerry in New Jersey. Jerry, what part of Jersey are you calling from?
I'm from North Jersey. I'm a blue-collar union guy.
And now they're friends.
Find the buddies for life, right?
It was always Jersey Jerry. It was always Zach Gelb.
This has never happened before. And I'm man enough to share it. I'm man enough.
And now it's time to respect their NFL picks. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
You knew this guy was a superstar. But his superstar status went to a different level today. First row at a Yankees-Guardians playoff game all over television. I'm surprised he still does this show. The very popular Jersey Jerry. How you been?
Hey, what's up, Zaga? Not much. Just got back home, showered up, just relaxing. Fun day today.
Yeah, I also liked your ski mask that you were wearing behind home plate. Warm for that, I thought.
Yeah, that's when I get in the Jerry West mood. You know what I mean, like Kanye West. A lot of cameras out there, Zach.
Yeah, that's true. You had a great strikeout call. I was watching you once. I saw on Twitter that you were there, and I'm like, I'm looking at the game. I'm like, I think that's Jersey Jerry behind home plate. One of the best strikeout calls I've ever seen.
Yeah, have you seen that? I mean, I'll tell you what, that umpire wasn't that good tonight. I outperformed him by a mile.
No doubt about that. All right, so you've retaken the lead. I had the lead for 1 week. You've snatched it right back. I was a disaster last week. So I'll let you start off first here. What do you got for me?
Yeah, so I really like this game a lot. Listen, I don't want to be disrespectful to the Giants. I think they're playing really good football. Their defense is really strong. Their coaches doing a great job his first year. But I think this is a really tough matchup for them with Lamar Jackson on the other side of the football. I think he's going to have a very, very big game. I'm going to lay the points -5.5 for the Baltimore Ravens this week. I think this is going to be more so of like a 10-point game.
Yeah, I could see that. The only thing that concerns me about this game, maybe I'm thinking too much into it, is the Wink Martindale revenge game, how it ended with the Ravens. Yeah. Maybe he obviously has intel on that team. But still, Lamar's so talented. And this Giants team, if they're able to pull off back-to-back wins against Rodgers and Lamar, that would just be something out of this world.
Yeah, then you would say, I mean, then people would have no choice than to take this team serious.
All right, my first pick. I know the Falcons have been undefeated this year against the spread, and they've been a gritty football team. I'm starting to believe that the 49ers are going to win the NFC West. I saw this game for most of the week was at 5.5 points. It's now gone down to the 49ers minus 4.5. I think the 49ers are going to win. I think they should win this game by 10 points, like 30-20, let's say. Their defense is going to force a lot of turnovers. I like the 49ers laying 4.5 on the road.
Awesome, awesome. My next favorite pick is going to be it's another tough matchup, but they held their own last week, the Cardinals. I'm going to lay the 2.5 against Seattle. I know Seattle's a tough place to play. I know the talk of the town has been Geno Smith outperforming a bunch of quarterbacks, especially Russell Wilson, who was there the year prior. But, you know, I see the Cardinals do this every year, it seems like. You know, they show flashes of being really, really good, and then they just crumble. I think they got their win back a little bit last week with the performance, and I think they're going to make a little bit of a push here against the Seattle Seahawks. So I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals this week.
I'll give you my underdog pick here, Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports. I'm going to take my team in the Patriots plus the 3 points on the road in Cleveland. That Browns defense has been terrible. We'll see if Mac Jones is going to make a return. You know, Ramondre Stevenson's going to run the football well. This Browns team, they've just been playing too many close games, and I'm getting 3 points here. I'll jump on Belichick, knowing enough about Jacoby Brissett, who he once drafted, to make that defense get a turnover to Pats plus 3.
Awesome, awesome. For my underdog pick, I am going to go with the Carolina Panthers.
Ooh.
Yes, and here's why. I really liked the Rams in the beginning of the week. But I was on a show with Deion Sanders, and he was explaining to me, once a coach gets fired, now the spotlight is on a bunch of different places in the organization, you know what I mean? And they feel like they got to step up. Players feel like they got to step up and get up, especially for this game. They're going against the Rams. You know, they haven't been really that great this year, and the offensive line is really, really not that good. So I'm going to take a chance, and I'm going to get the 10 points and go with Carolina this week.
And then my final pick, I'm going to take the Bengals minus 1.5 against the Saints. The only reason the Saints won last week is just because you had Taysom Hill go off in that game. Andy Dalton is going up against the Bengals. To me, we're right past the point of a revenge game. Michael Thomas isn't going to play. It just comes down to the Bengals have more offensive talent. The Saints aren't healthy. We don't even know if Olave's going to go. So I know that line seems low, but I'll love the Bengals this week minus 1.5. So Jersey Jerry's taking the Panthers plus 10, the Cardinals minus 2.5, and the Ravens minus 5.5. I'm rocking and rolling with the 49ers minus 4.5, the Pats plus 3, and then the Bengals laying 1.5. By the way, I have to bring this up to you. And yeah. I'll be watching this show either later tonight or early tomorrow morning. Barstool Sports Advisors is one of my favorite shows right now. I love Stu. I love Big Cat. I saw you were on again this week. Is that true that Zach Wilson has slept with your cousin? Is that accurate?
That is 1,000% true. This has been going on for the last, I'd say, couple months now. So you know, I got asked my advice on the game, and I said, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. You know what I mean? But yeah, Zach Wilson is having some intercourse with my cousin. I don't know exactly when the last time was. I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, but very recent, very recent.
How old is your cousin, if you don't mind me asking?
He's 27, same age as me.
Oh, so you would think Zach was, from reports, probably into people that are 35 and up. That's what you would think.
Yeah, that's, you know, what you think. But, you know, I guess, you know, he got to do what he got to do. I haven't seen anything from it, any type of ticket from it. But, you know, maybe that's in the future. Maybe they'll get married. Who knows?
Wedding bells?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on, Zach. I don't know.
Can I make a play to get an invite to that wedding, Jersey Jerry, since, you know, I've always been a friend of Jersey Jerry?
Yes, if I could get you there, I will.
Sounds good. But come on, the guy's got to send you at least an autographed jersey, a few tickets, get you some sideline passes, you would think. You know, have a little respect.
Yeah, that might come in the future. We'll see.
Well, if he didn't know that Jersey Jerry was related to the girl that he's having relations with, now I guess he knows, right?
Yep, exactly.
We'll do it again next week, Jersey Jerry. Appreciate it.
Okay, appreciate it, brother. Thanks.
There you go. Jersey Jerry joining us. Front row at the Yankees game today, doing picks all around the country. And we've also found out that Zach Wilson has nookie time with his cousin. You never know what you're going to get with Jersey Jerry. That's why I love that man. Marco Belletti is here. Mark, I got to get your thoughts on something. You're usually a calm person, rational person. You sometimes go a little bit crazy and go off the rails.
That's true.
You're sensible. You don't freak out after just one loss. You concerned about the Yankees all tied up at one apiece now against Guardians?
Yeah. I was concerned going into the series, though, because everybody with the idea that the Guardians aren't that good. Really? Their pitching is pretty solid. I realize they're young. I realize their lineup isn't loaded. They're a good team, and their pitching is very good. And the Yankees, let's be fair, how long has it been now in the postseason where they can't hit? And you're facing a team where they can really pitch?
Forever.
Yeah, those are recipes for disaster.
Now, I was taking a look at the ALCS schedule. I'm not a Yankees fan, but I live in New York. So I'm like, oh, the ALCS is in New York. I'm definitely going to have to go, and especially it looks like it's going to be up against the Astros. And I hope for my sake the Astros close this thing out tomorrow, because – if they have a game four, then for Ion Football, when we only have 3 games in the 4 o'clock window, that game gets shifted to 5:30.
Right.
And being selfish, sorry, Seattle, you're not coming back and winning this series. So just do me a favor and go down without a fight. Say F you to your home fans and just lose in 3 games.
Uh-huh.
But I was looking at the schedule. I'm like, oh, Saturday night next week would be game 3 of the ALCS. Maybe I go to the Bronx, check out, no dog in the fight, Yankees and Astros. Will the Yankees still get to the ALCS?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I still think they'll get through the series.
Yankees in 5, 4?
I would like to say 4 because I'd like to think that Severino will – he's been Jekyll and Hyde in the playoffs. I expect him to have a good performance, and I don't think the Yankees will mess around, and they'll bring back Garrett Cole for game 4 and look to finish it off in that.
Okay.
Because there is the opportunity, the Yankees, if they got up to – look, if you're down 2-1, you got to go to Cole. If you're up 2-1 –
Judge is hitting a home run, by the way, in game 3.
I'm concerned. This is the most lost he's looked in over a year.
The approach was there was 2 pitches on that final at bat today that I go, if you just put the bat on the ball, he would have had a home run.
Yeah, no, but
he's right there.
He's all over the place.
Yeah.
His timing is messed up. His everything. He looks lost right now.
In a weird way, do you think, because how many times people go in a home run derby? And then down the stretch in the second half, people go, oh, the home run derby affected him. Do you think that home run chase and where everyone's like, oh, this guy's got a home run, he would hit a double when he's going for the triple crown. I know he didn't get it.
Yeah.
And people in the stadium are like, oh, so that has to, when you get up to the plate, you're just trying to mash, especially when you hit that home run. Do you think that all affected him?
A little bit down the stretch. When he got to 61, and it took a while to get to 61,
yeah.
He had great at-bats before that, though. He was taking his walks. He was still pounding the ball, singles up the middle. He looked okay. 61 to 62, he didn't look right. He just looked like his timing was off, and maybe it was him pressing. Maybe it was him looking to do things that he had not done all season long. Look, baseball is hard, man. When you're at a rhythm, when you're at the plate, it's not as simple as, oh, I'm just going to go back to the way I was. Get it, find it. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to find it again. It's easy when you're clicking, and when you're not, it's like, what the hell? What am I missing? Is it my shoulder? Is it my elbow? And you get into your own head, and it's just a mess, and you wind up all over the place. You're behind the fastball, and you're in front of the breaking stuff. That's just the way baseball works. And right now, his timing is off.
Any problem with Yankee fans? It wasn't a ton, but there were some boos.
No. It's the playoffs. Tough. Like, I hate to say it. Like, look, you want to root for your guys. Am I a guy that boos? No. You go 0 for 4 with, you know, 4 strike, 0 for 5 with 5 strikeouts. Yeah, tough. That's just what it is. I mean, yeah, I get it. You had great, whatever, 6 months. You're in the playoffs now. Everything's at ground zero. So whether you had a great season or you had an awful season, you have a chance to be able to erase it all, or you have a chance to say, hey, sorry, man. That's how it works.
Here's what I'll say. I think you got to wait till at least game 5, like a strikeout in game 5,
to start the booing. I think he gets the
you're in game
the first
five,
two game struggles.
If you're in game five and you've been struggling for four games,
well, that's
we're
different.
Way past all of that.
But then you get back home. That's
you're
the next
in game,
game
two. They're in. Your offense has been putrid the entire game. This is something that's been a theme running for 10 years now. They haven't been able to hit in the postseason. You had 62 homers. You had basically a triple crown season. You're going to hear it. And you know what? It's justified. That's tough. That comes with the territory. If you don't like it, pack the bags, go sign somewhere else, and move along. Because that's just that comes with it. And you know what? I don't care where you play. The only other place that's not going to boo you is basically St. Louis. Because you go anywhere else on the planet, you have a monster season. No one's they had four hits after the first inning.
Well, I'll give you two places. Tampa and then also
because there's nobody
the
there.
Because there's no one there.
Well, yeah, no. Yeah. Look.
They try to get my grandma over to the Marlins game.
Again, if that's something that weighs you down and you can't perform because you got booed, reevaluate.
Yeah, I don't think that's an issue for Judge.
I don't think it is for him. I don't think it's for
And it's
for
not
a lot
an issue
guys.
For Giancarlo Stanton because that guy used to get booed left and right, and he at least had a pulse today.
10 homers in 20 postseason games. Yeah. That's remarkable. It really is. And again, he's a guy that can look lost in for a long time, but when it clicks.
That was the Mraz Mush. Right?
He's always hated him.
He's hated him.
Always hated him.
Hated him.
Okay, look, big guys, long swings, all that.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Good-looking guys Mraz don't like.
You can't strike out 15 times as a team, go 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position to live 11 men on, get four hits in nine innings, score two runs and all of it comes in the first, and think you're going to walk away going, oh, yeah, we feel all right. No, you don't. No, you don't.
We're going to get to the closing bell next.
Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Finding a perfect suit can seem impossible, but finding a suit that's perfect for you is simple with Indochino. Choose your favorite fabric and customize every detail. Then submit your measurements online or get measured in store for a custom made-for-you fit at an incredible price. And with Indochino's fall collection featuring new colors and premium fabrics, you'll be in style all season long. Indochino makes it easy to craft a look that suits you perfectly. Suits start at just $449, and fitted shirts start at just $89. And you can fine-tune every detail, lapels, linings, monograms, and more. Create a personalized wardrobe that doesn't cost a fortune with options like shirts, casual wear, and outerwear. Want to elevate your look? Indochino lets you make any suit a tux. Design your perfect suit today with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more with promo code FALLUPDATE at Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com. Promo code FALLUPDATE.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Oscar Gonzalez, RBI single. This made it 3-2 in the 10th for the Guardians. They end up getting the victory up against the New York Yankees. Let's listen up to Tom Hamilton on the Guardians Radio Network.
The pitch. Breaking ball swung on, a blooper to right. Coming on is Judge, and it drops a base hit. In the score is Ramirez, and the Guardians take a 3-2 lead in the 10th.
Guardians win the game. They even up this series at one apiece. Give a stock up to Oscar Gonzalez. So from zero to hero, Rhys Hoskins. You know he has a sock fetish, by the way?
What does that mean?
Not the way that you think, like, oh, you got to wear socks when you're with Rhys Hoskins. But he has a collection of socks. And he has all these different types of funky socks. He has socks for, like, everything.
Like a sock collector.
Yeah. He got a fetish for socks.
Okay, I like it. Well, interesting. I did not know that.
When I was in Trenton, New Jersey, he was with the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, I think, or the Reading, whatever they were. I forget what the AA affiliate is. But when I was in Trenton, I interviewed him. because we used to do games outside the Tread and Thunder, and whenever they would play the Phillies affiliate, that would be big Yankees Phillies affiliate, and we would do our show live out there outside Arm & Hammer Park. And Reese Hoskins, Scott Kingery, Tyler Austin, right? I think the guy was the guy named that played for the Yankees. He was the one that hit the home run back to back with Judge in the first game. I think his name was Tyler Austin. And whoever the pitcher was, they got traded, I want to say, to the Mariners. I forget what his name was. I could see the guy's face, but this guy would always come out and listen to our show whenever we were there. Whoever the double-A pitcher was, he got traded, I think, to the Mariners for the Yankees organization. But regardless, Reese Hoskins, I said, tell me something that no one else knows about you. And he goes, I collect a lot of socks. I have socks for every holiday, for every big occasion. Crazy socks. This is Reese Hoskins, though, in game number two. Had that controversial play at first where he should have stopped the ball from going to the outfield. It didn't cost the Phillies the game. Reese Hoskins made up for it with a big blast in the third inning to make this game 4-0. It had a heck of a bat flip here. Scott Fransky on the Phillies Radio Network.
And the pitch. Swung on. Did it. Crushed. And the Phillies are going to lead it. 4-0. A three-run home run for Reese Hoskins. His first postseason home run. And he's sprinting around third base.
Give a stock up to Reese Hoskins. Football fans, we're getting a stock down. Hit it. We're getting a stock down because the last 2 weeks we've had to been tortured by the Colts and the Broncos on Thursday Night Football. And then last night, the Commanders and Bears was horrible as well. It was like 40-something possessions without a touchdown on Thursday Night Football. Just a horrible, horrible, horrible last 2 weeks on Thursday night. Stock down. That was double stock down. I'm giving another stock down to that game. If you bet the over, I did not. I took the live under on the show, 21 points. Had to sweat it out there at the end. But it hit. But if you took the over, imagine you took the over before the game. At the end of the first possession, you know you had no shot. Ron Rivera, fake outrage last night, trying to just fix what he did earlier in the week. I'm a fan of Coach Ron Rivera, but come on. That fake outrage was just way too much last night. Stock down. And finally, Draymond Green back with the Warriors. Let's listen up how Draymond Green spent his time away after punching a teammate in the face.
It was great. I spent a lot of time with my kids. Made eggs with my son. Taught him how to cook. I cook really good eggs. So I taught him how to cook some eggs. It was great. Spent a lot of time with my kids, but also a lot of time dealing with this stuff too. So it's been some long days, but it's good.
Now it's important to spend time with your family. So I don't want to sound like a jerk in saying this, but when you're involved in such a controversial situation where you punched a teammate in the face pretty damn hard, you can't be talking about the eggs that you made with your son. You just can't. Because it gives off, once again, that impression that you don't give a rat's ass and you didn't think you did anything wrong. That's a horrible, and I mean horrible, response by Draymond Green. But no surprise, because the Warriors are afraid to suspend him and have any punitive action. So if you keep on getting away with things, why would you have any respect for the organization? Why would you take your job seriously? Stock down, Draymond Green. That's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to each and every one of you for listening to the program today. You can always give me a follow. Make sure you do that on Twitter and Instagram. Do that right now, ZACHGELB. And a big thanks to all of our guests today. Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports. Also, Deion Dawkins from the Buffalo Bills. And Max Starks, the former Pittsburgh Steeler. Now does a great job as an NFL and a college football analyst. I will be back on Sunday for Eye on Football, 8 hours around the league, stadium to stadium, starting at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Hot Take Hickey. Make sure you call him. Call him Hot Take Hickey. He loves when you call him Hot Take Hickey. He wants calls tonight. 855-212-4CBS. Call him Hot Take Hickey. He gets underway at 2 a.m. Eastern. And then we'll be back. One big old happy family Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Zach Gelb, have a good weekend, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace!
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire. And with trades. And with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start, sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
Hey, I'm Thamie Redwood, host of the podcast Beyond Black History Month. Here's reason number 568 million of why you should be listening. From in-depth reporting on the shortage of black sperm to how one House of the Dragon star is dealing with online trolls who don't love seeing black dragon riders.
I can't lose sleep over that, over worrying about things that are beyond my control.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.